This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I praise the Lord for each one of you who tune in each day, Monday through Friday, on this same station to hear the Old Trailblazer. Now you can go there on our website, radiomissions.org, and you can hear the Old Trailblazer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have about 2 weeks' worth of messages posted there, some of them that have not been aired, some of them that have just been aired. So if you need more information, write me or call me. So this morning, let's open our Bibles at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 29th verse for our study today. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 29th verse. Now, we could run through this and give you a little synopsis of each one, but I don't feel like doing that. No, we've been going real slowly, and this 11th chapter of Hebrews has meant too much to us to try to do that. I wish it would mean more to you than it ever has to me, but at least it would mean as much to you. It's called a faith chapter. We've mentioned that several times. You know, it'd be funny if it wasn't so tragical, my friend, to see politicians and religious leaders today read after their writings and hear their commentaries, and then hear the announcers on the radio and the TV putting a question mark behind God's Word, the Bible, trying to tell us that we're living in a new day, and when we've outgrown the Bible. That's all rubbish, with all the superstition and error. What a bunch of fools, my friend. That's all I can call it, a bunch of fools. Biggest bunch of fools we've ever had. We're living in a day when the Apostle Paul spoke of, perilous time. We're living in that day. It's not a perilous times about the stock market and your 401k and those things. No. We're living in that day of a famine and the hearing of God's Word. And the Bible is God's Word. And you don't have to debate it. You know, all you need, believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it and be damned. And I don't have to defend the Bible. I never do that. No, sir. I proclaim it, and it defends itself. And I've been praying, and some of us have here lately, especially for the Holy Spirit to meet with us day by day and awaken sinners and save sinners. And I began to see that little cloud of about big as a man's hand. A lady called me a couple of nights ago, telling me the Lord saved her. I've been praying for many, many years. Pastor Shelton told a story one time about this man. And he said, I've been praying for old Joe for 64 years. And someone asked him, said, well, why in the world would you pray for somebody for 64 years? Because he said he didn't save him in 63 years. Well, I've been praying for this lady for many years. And she called me and said, you know, Pastor, the Lord saved me. And I praise the Lord for that. And that's my aim, to go on. I hope your desire is to see folks saved, my friend. I see how that the Lord is able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. And I'm bringing you God's Word. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, it will transform lives, lift you out of the gutters of hell, set folks' feet on a rock, put a song in their mouth, according to Psalms 40, take the hell out of a home and make it a heaven out of it. And I'm going to stand here behind my pulpit, behind this microphone at the Old Trailblazer broadcast, in this little studio where I sit, and bring these messages just as long as the Lord gives me breath. May the Lord give me a clear mind. That's the main thing. I may not be able to get up and get outside and get in my car and drive to the chapel or anything, but if he gives me a clear mind, I can sit here in my recliner, bring the microphone right up close to me, and tell you folks how the Lord saves a sinner, tell you how I'm praying for you, tell me that if you never turn to the Lord, you'll be eternally lost, and that's what I long to do. And, you know, I hear these preachers now, well, old Dr. So-and-so retired. He just made 65, and he's retired. Well, I don't see any place in God's Word where any of God's people ever retired. I don't. Now, I think if you have health problems and those things, that's fine. But if you're able to get up and go to church on Sunday morning, you've been preaching for 20 years, 30 years, you better get up and keep going. That's right. I know several pastors that's for 84 years up in Knoxville, Tennessee. He and I talked quite often, and he's going on. He said, what's going to take place? I know I have lots of problems. I have lots of pain and those things I hardly ever mention. And I'm facing problems that we face here with the souls of men. I know we have other problems, but that's the biggest problem I have, the burden, is the souls of men. I know what it is. I know what it costs. For intercessory prayer, it costs me headaches and backaches and no sleep at night. Now, the only way I know of that I can get relief from those things is for you folks to get saved. That's right. That's right. I used to hear Pastor Shelton talk about the headaches he had several years before he died. He talked about he had headaches so bad. And I know that I've had some here lately that I'd call them a whopper. They wake me up in the middle of the night hurting. and I'd get up and take something for it and wrap a cold rag around my head. We just have to keep on, don't we? Now, let's look at that 28th verse. In our last study, we looked there at the 27th verse. But the 28th verse says, through faith, or by faith, they kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, they're out of Egypt now with our lesson. They're facing the Red Sea. Now, don't that whet your appetite, folks? Oh, I love the stories in the Bible. And I love this story, how that Pharaoh had let these folks go. And he didn't tell them he was going to chase them after they got outside of the city wall. But let's give you this picture. After there, we saw the Feast of the Passover in our last study. When they walked out of their homes after midnight that night, and they just walked out. The death angel had passed over. Destruction had laid there in his wake. The death of the firstborn cattle and all lay dead under the destroying power of that angel, the death angel. You talk about a slaughter. Egypt was a morgue and a house of mourning, but it was too late. I often tell my folks here in my preaching, don't wait till it's too late, my friend. The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Don't wait too late. Oh, my friend, how many have I heard say it's too late, Pastor? Don't no use to say nothing. It's too late. It's too late. And then I've seen folks where it was too late. Did you know there's a line you can cross that you can't come back over? Only the Lord knows where that line is, my friend, but there is a line. These children of Israel under the leadership of Moses were now going out of Egypt with all that they could carry. I mean, they ransacked Egypt. They borrowed of everything they could borrow. With their children and with enough food to last them for a few days, all the cattle, the sheep, the goat, marching out. 3 million Jews on the march. Now, if you could think about the population of our state of Louisiana here, we have about 3 million Jews there on the march. And you think about Louisiana, all the people of Louisiana, maybe of Mississippi, leaving out. 3 days passed by, and that's what they said they were going, 3 days' journey. There they came to the Red Sea. Oh, my friend, there was a different route they could have gone, but God led them this way. And we'll see something before we get through, that it was God's leadership, not Satan. They followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That was God's leadership. Now, we're going to talk about the Red Sea. So they came there to the Red Sea. There it was before them. No bridges, no ferries, no boats. The wilderness on each side, Egypt back in the back. By that time, Pharaoh realized what had taken place. They come out from under their mourning. There was no repentance there. Pharaoh gathered all his chariots, 600 chariots, and led that army to either destroy or overpower and bring those people back. They were slaves of Egypt. And listen, if you just think about it, a bunch of slaves. 3 million slaves, including children, and a mixed multitude. Slaves for years had been nothing but slaves in the brick kilns of Egypt being led by the great commander Moses. And here they come at the evening hour to the Red Sea. Oh, can't you just picture that, my friend? All those women and children and cattle and all of those things. And when they camped for that night, they lifted up their eyes and look. And there yonder in the distance, way off, they saw the dust rising. The first thing they began to do was to murmur. Now, my friend, that's our lesson for today. Let's don't murmur. I saw a bumper sticker not long ago on the back of a car. It said, don't complain with your mouth full. That's a good saying, my friend. Don't complain with your mouth full. I urge my people here, radio missions people, to thank the Lord. Be thankful in all things. I have a statement that I make. I ask you, when you get up in the morning, put your feet on the floor, whether it be a hard concrete, brick, stone, carpet, whatever it is. When your feet touches the floor, take a moment. Sit on the side of your bed or maybe in your chair. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest. Or maybe you didn't rest any. Maybe you was twisting and turning and squirming because you're not saved. But you could say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, that I woke up breathing. Thank you, Lord. Can't you do that, my friend? It'll revolutionize your whole life if you begin to thank the Lord instead of complaining and murmuring. I see so much complaining and murmuring, even in my ministry here where folks sit and listen. I hear of folks complaining about this and complaining about that and belly aching. That's what my dad used to call it, just belly aching. Are you a belly acher, my friend? all time got something. Never say thank you, Lord, for nothing. I tell you, folks, we got a lot to be thankful for. We are. You out of hell, you ought to be thankful. You are. You're living and breathing. Got food on the table, clothes on your back. Got a place, way to go to church and way to go to the store. And got a check coming in every month. Some of you have, like the old trailblazer. That's right. I got one coming every month. And I worked out there in the workplace for 40, 50 years. And now I get that little old Social Security check. I don't know how long we're going to get it, but we get it right now. And I thank the Lord for it. I do. I thank the Lord for it. And I have a lot to be thankful for, my friend. And I want to remind you just to be thankful. Now, these 3 million Jews, they had come out of that death camps, as it were, brick kilns of Egypt. And here they are murmuring already. They had come 3 days' journey, and they had been promised to be delivered to the Canaan land, the promised land of Canaan. And here they were, camped on the edge of the Red Sea, a pillar of cloud over them, pillar of fire by night, and they began to murmur. Oh, listen. First thing they did was to murmur, and that's what usually the average one of us does. Begin to murmur and complain. They accused Moses. Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? They thought they was all going to die. Later on, after they crossed the Red Sea, they murmured and said, would to God we were back in Egypt where the leeks and the garlics and the cucumbers were. All they thought about was their stomach, my friend. They didn't mind working in the brick kiln if they'd have all that they could eat and all that they could drink and a place to sleep. But here the Lord wanted to deliver them, and that's what the Lord did. And we're going to see that in our next study now. We're not getting very far this time, but we'll pick it up in our next study and look there how the Lord delivered them. And let me ask you, would you pray for me? Would you ask the Lord for the old trailblazer as he goes out day by day, riding old Dan, blazing the trail? And you help me with the broadcast, if you will. You know I hardly ever ask you for money, but you could help me with the broadcast. And we have folks that call us here and give us their credit card number and say, put that on file now, Trailblazer, and have the little girl every month take X dollars out of my credit card for my tithe. And sometimes they do for bookstore sale. We take their money for over the credit card or the tithes or offering or special offerings. And we'd be glad to do that for you. And remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810 Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my telephone number, 225-664-8658. Goodbye, and God bless you.